For decades, the NCAA and its member schools have held on to the notion that an education was all a college athlete should receive for their time in trouble. That idea largely went up in smoke in two forums last week. As a result, American athletics will never be the same. On Thursday, the NCAA Board of Directors gave permission to some colleges to increase the value of what they offer to athletes. The 65 schools that compete in what are called the Power Five conferences, the Atlantic Coast, Big Ten, Big 12, Pacific 12, and Southeastern, may now give athletes stipends. Those stipends will cover what is euphemistically called the full cost of a scholarship. In real terms, that means the athletes will receive additional cash beyond the tuition, room, board, books, and fees that a regular scholarship would entail. In addition, the athletes will have access to better health insurance than they currently get from the schools. They'll also be able to hire agents and advisors while still in college. Those changes are a start, but hardly enough to adequately compensate the labor force that keeps the multi-billion dollar college sports engine running. The Power Five has already taken big-time football under their control. If the board vote had gone the other way, there would have been little to stop the big conferences from completely splintering off from the NCAA and going off on their own with basketball and other sports. But as important as that move was, the vote paled in comparison to the federal court decision Friday that reduced the idea of amateur athletics to rubble. A group of 20 athletes sued the NCAA 5 years ago. They claimed that while schools were making money by selling their names, images, and likenesses to video game companies and apparel manufacturers, they were barred by the schools from doing the same. Federal Judge Claudia Wilkin ruled that football and men's basketball players from the highest collegiate level can earn money while they play for the use of their names, likenesses, and images by schools. But Wilkin's ruling wasn't a complete victory for the players. The schools can cap the amount the players receive at just $5,000 for each year they're eligible, and the players won't get the money until their eligibility runs out. Also, the NCAA can still restrict athletes from endorsing products while they're still in school. Wilkin's ruling will not affect any current or past athletes and will go into effect with the class that enters college in the fall of 2016. That should give the NCAA and its members enough time to formulate a plan to equitably distribute the billions of dollars it makes off the backs of young people. However, the NCAA has indicated that it will appeal all the way to the Supreme Court. The court's decision and the board of directors' vote leaves one big question. What will big-time intercollegiate athletics look like going forward? We'll attempt to answer that in a future program. And that's how I see it for this week. You can reach us via email with your questions and comments at sportsatlarge@wypr.org. And follow me on Twitter at sportsatlarge. Until next week, for all of us here and for producers Mary Rose Madden and Brett Jaspers, I'm Milton Kent. Thanks for listening and enjoy the games.